Well, good morning. And along with Charlie, I too want to welcome everyone here, especially our visitors. We're so thankful you come our way. We wish you'd come back every chance you have, and you're always an honored guest at Prairie Village Church of Christ. I also always ask you to open your Bibles and follow along with me, for I don't want you to take my word. I don't want you to take any man's word, only the word of God. Now, topic of our lesson this morning is, what can I do to help? What can I do to help? You know what? I was really sad to learn this week of the death of one of our congregation's most valuable members, someone else. His passing has left a void that will be difficult to fill. For years now, someone else was relied on to do most of the work in the congregation, but now that he is gone, we're not sure what will happen. Whenever there was a job to do, a class to teach, a gospel meeting to attend, we could always respond with, let someone else do it. He was always there to fill a financial need, or encourage a person who was struggling, or meet the duties of the assembly. Everyone just assumed that someone else would send the cards, lead the prayers, select the songs, and prepare the communion. We have too much to do to learn how to do those things ourselves. Let someone else do it, has been the thinking, but now someone else is gone. Who will do his part? Brethren, we all too easily assume that church growth is another person's responsibility. Convinced that God does not expect us to learn and contribute while we are able, and nothing could be further from the truth. Growth in the body comes by every joint supplies, Ephesians 4 and verse 6. No one member can do all the work for the body, nor should he or she try. While God has placed limits on how we may serve, he has not confined service to a few members. Everyone can help in some way by using their talents and their abilities to glorify God. Attendance alone is a responsibility we share. Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, he says, and let us consider one another, not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves. Well, brethren, I think we have a problem here on Sunday evening. Last Sunday evening, it was only 9 people here. Where was the rest of you? I don't know, but you know, it is a sin to miss Sunday evening is the same as it is Sunday morning. So think about that. God knows now. He knows if you're sick or whatever. Think about it. Many churches have lost their zeal because saints yielded to the mentality that the work of the church is the responsibility of someone else. That is a lie. You're responsible for doing your part in contributing to the growth of the body. To rely on someone else to do all the work does nothing but leave no one left to serve God. I pray that every one of us here are now asking ourselves, what can I do to help? There's a passage of Scripture that unfortunately has been used by many in the past and even today to teach that the church has the right and the responsibility to use its benevolent funds in the care of those who are not members of the body of Christ. It is said that in the misuse of this passage, the wonderful lesson that it does teach has been overlooked. The passage that I'm talking about is Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. And I ask you to turn your Bibles there and we'll read that. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. Paul wrote, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinketh to be something, himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his burden, own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. And we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. This passage is talking about individual responsibility. It's talking about individual opportunity. We preachers do a lot of talking about being steadfast in the service of Christ, about always abounding in the work of the Lord. And I think of a lot of times good and devout brethren want to do that, but they're not sure exactly how to go about it. So what can I say, what can I, as a very ordinary individual, do to help the cause of Christ? How can I be about abounding in the work of the Lord? And, well, I believe Galatians 6, verses 1 through 10 that we just read gives us a list of those things. Keep your ribbons or whatever marker in your Bible in Galatians 6. We'll be coming back to it all morning. So, brethren, if we find ourselves wondering, what can I do, just think about Galatians 6 and be busy following Paul's suggestions. Look at the first one. I can work to restore an erring brother or sister in Christ. Verse 1 states, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now this may not be the easiest one to begin with, but it is a work that must be done. Every one of us can think of a brother or sister right now who is unfaithful, caught up in sin, and whatever nature it might be, and definitely be in danger of eternal damnation if Jesus were to return today. Because they're just not living the way they ought to. Well, I tell you what. I personally find talking to someone who has strayed to be the most difficult thing that I do. It's never easy to tell someone who knows better that they know better and that they need to repent and return to faithful service of the Lord. But when you consider the alternative, their eternal damnation, then whatever discomfort that I may feel in doing it pales by comparison. This particular work must be done in a spirit of meekness, realizing that I too am just as subject to the temptation as they are. To approach an erring brother or sister in Christ with a holier-than-thou attitude is to ask for resentment and failure in my efforts. Look with me at James, the 5th chapter, please. James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. James wrote, verse 19, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sins. When approached with the right spirit, any honest person will appreciate having his faults pointed out. Now, he or she may not appreciate it right at the moment, but in a quiet time of contemplation, they will. We can all have a hand in saving a soul from death. So when we wonder, what can I do to help the cause of Christ, there is one thing we can do. Think of a brother or sister lost in sin, lost in their unfaithfulness, and pick up the phone and call them. Or get in the car and go visit them. Or call them and make an appointment, then get in your car and go visit them. In doing so, we will be helping them, and then we will be helping ourselves. Secondly, something else that I can do in service to the Lord is found in verse 2 of Galatians 6. Paul wrote, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Brethren, none of us lives to himself. As the old saying goes, no man is an island. What a blessing it is to help a brother or sister to bear their burdens. And these would be burdens of all kinds, whether spiritual or secular, that we may find ourselves subject to from time to time. There can be the burden of sin. Perhaps a brother is struggling with a particular temptation. We can help. It might be a burden of sorrow. And while we might not be able to alleviate it, can we not, by our concern, make it just a little lighter to bear? It might be a burden of care. Have you ever noticed how problems and concerns always seem to be magnified if we're facing them alone? Paul wrote in Philippians 2 and verse 4, he said, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Now, I can help my brother with this burden. I can help him with his burden, and sometimes as little as a thing as a smile, or maybe a compliment, an expression of appreciation. Little things like that can lift a great burden from the heart and mind of a friend. Just a simple thing can so often tell another that we care about them. The passage of Galatians talked about and so fulfilled the law of Christ in Galatians 6:2. Well, I believe that law of Christ, is what Paul was talking about, is found in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Let's look at that. John 13, verse 34. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another." So when I want to know what I can do to be busy in the work of the Lord, well, just think of Galatians chapter 6 and look for a burden to help a brother or sister bear. Look for a burden to help a brother or sister bear. Something else I can do to help the cause of Christ is to honestly face the facts about myself. Back to Galatians chapter 6, verse 3. "For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." We've all heard about the character of the teenager who thinks he knows everything about everything that is worth knowing. If he does, he's not alone. I've talked to many college students who get a little bit of higher education under the belt and they're ready to deny the existence of God, and they call everything they have been taught before of a spiritual nature into question. Why do they do that? Because it is just not intellectual enough for them anymore. I'm reminded of Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 12 when he wrote about this very thing. Let's look at that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Paul wrote, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise," he said. They are not wise. I believe that Paul is telling us we can help the cause of Christ greatly by making a realistic appraisal of our own abilities and then acting accordingly. Now, having made such an appraisal, the fourth point follows right along and is pointed out in verses 4 and 5 of Galatians 6. Verse 4 and 5 of Galatians 6. "But every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." Whatever my abilities are, brethren, I can serve faithfully in those capacities. I can study and work to become a better teacher, a better song leader, a better exhorter or proclaimer of the word, a better deacon or a better elder or a better personal worker and visitor. There is a burden that we must share, brethren. But there is another burden that each must bear for himself. No one else can do my praying. They can't do my singing or my giving or my assembling, my teaching or my exhorting or even my visiting. I must discharge my individual responsibilities by myself. which, by the way, correspond directly to the abilities that God has given to me. Every one of us has something that we can do, and whatever we can do in the service of the Lord is important and vital to the functioning of this congregation. Surely we're all aware of Paul's teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14 through 21, and I want you to turn with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul wrote, beginning in verse 14, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, and I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' it is therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again to the head, 'To the feet, I have no need of you.' There is one body composed of many members. Every part of the body is necessary to the completion of the whole. Individuals, now listen, individuals make up the church, not congregations. Individuals make up the church, not congregations. We all have a part to play, and we must serve faithfully in our own capacities. Let's go down to verse 6 of Galatians 6. Paul wrote, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches all good things." If I'm wondering what I can do to help in the cause of Christ, I may very well be able to help in the support of some brother somewhere who is preaching the word, either here or at home. I sometimes think we don't realize how important our contribution really is. I don't know exactly what kind of letters we get here. Charlie pretty much takes care of those. But I know other congregations I've been to, they just letter after letter, day after day, people wanting support. And of course, we're limited in our ability to help by the amount of money that is available, but I do know we do support a couple of preachers overseas once a year. It may be that some are able to help on a personal basis. Now, in this area of communicating unto him that teaches in all good things, we're mistaken if we limit that solely to financial support. Maybe you're not in a position to help financially. But again, from personal experiences, I can tell you about how uplifting it is to receive a letter of encouragement from a brother or sister who has heard the work you're doing and the sacrifices you're making to do that work. The promise of prayers on your behalf is a tremendous help to the one teaching. So you see, there are all kinds of ways that we can help in the service of the Lord. 6. I'm going to go back to verses 7 and 8 of Galatians 6. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, and shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap everlasting." And you know something, brethren? I may deceive my wife. I may fool my neighbors. I may even evade the officers of the law. But God has solemnly warned me that I cannot fool him. The truth is clear. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If we fully realize the simple, powerful truth of that passage, it will have a profound influence upon our every action. God must come first in our lives. And a lot of problems, and a lot of just plain old not doing anything, will be avoided if I'm conscious that the reaping time is surely coming. Instead of just sitting around and wondering what can I do, I'll see to it that I'm busy sowing the things of the Spirit on a daily basis. Seventh point. When I'm wondering what I can do to help in the service of the Lord, I can keep on keeping on. Verse 9 of Galatians 6. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It has been said that the most effective tool in the devil's workshop is discouragement. It's hard to keep on when you are bitten by the one you have fed, or when you are misrepresented and misunderstood, and when you see no visible results from your efforts and labors. That's hard. It's really hard, I know. I've been there. But God promised, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And finally, from Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, I can do good towards all men. Paul wrote, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Think about it. The use of my car or my phone or personal service in time of sickness or some other distress. Just my care and concern may be the factor that causes my neighbor to take the time to investigate the gospel. Remember the song that says, we are the only Bible the wicked world will read? Well, it's so true. The only gospel some folks will read is the gospel according to you and to me. And brethren, I think about my mother when she left her will. She had invited her doctor to come to the funeral service. And I told him about it. He didn't come, but she said that's the only time he'll ever hear a gospel sermon if he'll come. So she never quit, always trying to get somebody to obey the gospel. I have a special responsibility to do good to them that are of the household of faith. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. What can I, as one very ordinary individual, do to further the cause of Christ? There are many other things, but this one passage, Galatians 6, verses 1 through 10, points the way for me to help my erring brother, my discouraged brother, myself, my home congregation, my preaching and teaching brothers, the lost anywhere in the world, and my neighbor. I reckon that should always give me something to do in the Word, the work of the Lord. Now, brethren, Moses issued this stern warning to the Israelites in Numbers 32 and verse 23, and it says, but if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, listen now, and be sure your sin will find you out. Moses stated a principle that is true today, sin comes out. One way or another, if we remain in it, has a way of telling on us, even after death. Paul said in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 24, some men's sins are clearly evident, preceding them to judgment, but those of some men follow later. One of the reasons our sins finds us out is because God is all-knowing. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. There is nothing that we can do that His omniscient eye does not see, which should dissuade us from believing that we can sin without getting caught. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. God can tell if we're forsaking the assembly or if we're truly unable to attend. He knows. He sees if we're sincerely fighting against the fleshly lust which war against the soul, or if we have feet that are swift in running to evil. He knows. You can't fool Him. So instead of looking for ways to keep our sins from others, let us be wise and submit to the One who will judge us. For he who covers his sins will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes him will have mercy. Proverbs 28 and verse 13. Now, right this moment, 15 minutes after 11 is a good time to take care of the sins in your life. And if you're not a Christian, here's some things you must do to become a Christian. You must repent of your sins. You must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, for He most certainly is. Then you must be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. And when you come up out of that water, you'll be a new creature, born again, and on that road that leads to heaven. If there's anyone here who has been a faithful Christian, but you've fallen away, take care of it this morning. You do that by repenting of your sin. And then let the brethren pray with you and pray for you. Then you too will be in good standing with the Lord. Remember always, if you miss heaven, you missed it all. If you miss heaven, you missed everything. Everything. If we can help anyone in any way make their life right with God, come now as we stand and sing. Brother Bill.